Episode 6. Someone told me that Elon Musk is a genius. Well, here's what I think. I think they're right, but more than what you would otherwise think. I mean, I had talked before about the level 5 and the level 4 leadership, and how level 5 is a higher form of leadership than the level 4. I would say Elon Musk is definitely a level 4 style. He's a genius with 1,000 helpers. And I'm not really sure he could accomplish what he's been able to accomplish as a level 5 in the same amount of time. Now, one of those things is, when choosing your leadership style, is to take a hard look at what the timeline is that you're working from. Now, for Elon Musk, I don't really think he is trying to build any of his companies as lasting legacies. What he's trying to do is to change the world. Now, that sounds very lofty, but I mean, he's also said it himself. Now, just wanted to kind of pick through some of the initiatives that he's got going on and kind of talk about how they're all tied together, because it does sound a little strange. He's got, I mean, anywhere between luxury sports cars and flamethrowers, and you say, what the hell is this guy doing, right? And I'll tell you, I'm from the outside looking in, but as a amateur historian and person who finds geopolitics and history fascinating, and then looking at the rise and fall of civilizations and technologies, I'm starting to see something of a pattern forming. Now, hear me out. So, first and foremost, right, we also talked previously about petroleum usage in this country, right? But it's more than just petroleum. It's energy consumption. And significant portions of the energy that we produce is consumed inside of transportation. Transportation is hard. In the United States, it's a very large country. We have a lot of roads, or we have, in many cases, sparsely populated population. And in some cases, you have one person per acre on average, where in you go anywhere in Europe and across their countries, is it's closer to 10 people per acre if you average out across the entire country, right? We are, as a whole, much more spread out. We need cars, we need transportation. It's one of the reasons why America consumes so much energy. Now, when you start talking about electric cars, though, that's a big challenge. I mean, electric motors have been around for forever, and they are very much superior to gas motors in a variety of reasons, one of which is that they're cleaner, they're more efficient, they're more provide a lot higher torque. They can change directions much faster. They're reversible in that I can turn a motor into a generator by switching the poles on it, or switching the direction of flow, right? So if I crank the motor around manually, it will produce electricity, right? That's all pretty cool stuff, and all of which is inside of the Tesla. But really what makes the Tesla is the battery. And the battery is a big challenge. And it wasn't until the early 2000s that lithium batteries really started to take off. And anybody who had a pager in the 90s will remember they had those nickel metal hydride batteries, the NiCads, nickel cadmium batteries. You know, these batteries that have this memory, and you had to let them drain down and then recharge them up, and you had to do all this babying, and otherwise your battery would lose its capacity. And then lithium ion comes along, and like, boom, I've got this battery. All I got to do is just charge it, and then it just works. And that's what people want. They don't want to have to have a maintenance manual on how to maintain their battery, okay? And as time has progressed, battery technology has gotten better and better and better and better. And now, with Tesla, they're looking at, if you could put that giant battery pack on an electric motor and get cars to go a certain distance, now we can start getting people to drive electric. Now, the interesting thing, when you look at electric cars, and this is, I think, one of the most genius, because Elon Musk wants to dominate the entire cars, automobile sector with electric vehicles. He doesn't even care if it's Tesla vehicles or not. He's been pretty open about it, in that he's willing to license a lot of the Tesla patents or even give them away for free, and let people use them as much as they want to make electric cars. He's trying to get more electric cars on the street. And a lot of that is going to be developing those standards to ensure that those cars are interoperable. But now, so he develops this battery pack and enables those cars to go a long distance, enables them to be moved into the mass market. But where do you want to start? Now, if you look at some of the other books on disruptive technology and kind of how those disruptive technologies have been rolled out into market, and normally what will happen is they'll start at the bottom of the market, the low-cost section of the market, and they'll start carving off portions of that market. In that, if you look at the way that the mini mills were made for steel, right? You'd have these smaller steel mills, and they would start off, they would manufacture low-grade steel, they would manufacture the really cheap stuff that the bigger steel companies wouldn't use, and then took over market share. So the same thing can happen, and if you want to read more about disruptive technologies, I highly recommend the book. It's called Innovator's Dilemma, and then the follow-on to that, which is Innovator's Solution. Now, it's important to look here is that not necessarily that innovation has to happen at the bottom of the market, but rather that innovation has to happen in a niche market, right? It's a very small, specialized group where people are looking for a very specific set of features. And when you look at the limitations on the Tesla, the limitations are not going to be a big deal for this niche market, but the features that they have are better than the features in the competitors, and this will allow them to differentiate themselves. And so what is that feature? Well, Tesla started off at high-end sports cars, luxury cars. And they said, hey, if we can make this thing look significantly nicer and make it easier and make it significantly faster than those other high-end sports cars, we can steal market from those guys. And they did that. Very niche market, because there's fewer things going on and needs fewer gauges. They were able to do LCD touchscreens and all that kind of stuff. But now here's the thing, is that's not really the innovation. Electric cars have been around for a very long time. The innovation, the disruptive innovation that Tesla has been producing is twofold. One is their manufacturing technology. So their desire was to mass produce these things with a fully robotic assembly line. And that's built from the ground up to be super efficient. And they had some growing pains, and they're still having growing pains. But everything along the way is about streamlining these cars and car manufacturing. And if you look at people who have kind of taken their Teslas apart to kind of look and see how they're built, and there's snapped together like Legos in many cases. There's nothing extra. They are put together to be, they're designed to be put together in a very simple way. The second innovation that Tesla's done is the direct sales model. And that they have tried to bypass the established market, which is the car sales places, and sell direct to consumers. Now that's important because you're able to cut out the middleman. And it's the same way that iPhone was able to achieve dominance in the market, because not because the iPhone itself is innovative, because it wasn't. When it came out, it was basically just an iPod with a phone piece in it. That's not super innovative. But what Apple's true innovation was is changing the way that cell phones were designed and distributed. Previous to Apple, the cell phone carriers mandated certain features and certain apps be installed on all phones. And Apple said, no, I'm not going to design my phone based on your stupid requirements. And Verizon refused to budge. And that's why when Apple first brought their iPhone out, it was only AT&T, I believe. AT&T was willing to play ball with Apple and say, yes, we will allow you to use your phones, let them operate on our network, and we will not try to control that user experience. And the rest is history. They cut out the middleman. And that was significant because now the company was able to produce the things that they wanted to produce and allow the customers to say for themselves what they wanted and communicate directly with the manufacturer. And the same thing is happening with Tesla, is that they are able to cut out the middleman, and someone can go to a website, which we're all comfortable with buying things, go to a website and customize your car and submit it on a form, and then boom, you get a car, right? Or hopefully that would work that well if they would bring their assembly line numbers up, okay? So Tesla's making electric sexy. They are moving into a market. And anybody who's anybody knows the name Tesla, and they are seeing the changes happening on that market. And what Elon Musk wanted to happen was that electric cars were going to become more common on the roads. And by blowing the sports cars out of the water from a speed and performance standpoint, where range was not important, the limitations on those battery packs were not as important, but speed was about most important. By blowing them out of the water and clearly demonstrating that electric was actually better than petroleum cars in many respects, he has influenced the entire industry to start investing more heavily, to the point where Porsche and a lot of high-end Jaguar are able to start manufacturing and developing electric sports cars. The goal of Tesla was to bring electric cars into the mainstream. And they are succeeding on that regardless of what the company ends up doing. Okay, so that's one. Now, one of the reasons why electric cars are so important, let's talk about that for a minute. Well, first and foremost, I believe the number is around 70% of the energy usage in the United States is consumed in transportation. We drive a lot. That's a lot of energy. And the second thing is that I want to say about half of all the energy produced at power stations is lost in line transmissions. As in, when you have alternating current and it's zipping back and forth on the lines, those electrons, there's a little bit of friction in the line, and some of that energy is lost in sound and heat. And if you actually look at a power line, or if you listen to it, you can hear it humming. So translation of electricity into sound and heat, that's energy lost. So if you go all the way down from where the power is generated all the way to your house, you lose more energy every time it goes through a transformer and so on and so forth. A lot of energy is lost by the time it gets to your house. Now, I've got huge amounts of energy needs through transportation. If I can convert my energy needs from petroleum to electrical and then find a way to generate electricity at the demand site, then conceivably I can do away with a requirement for other forms of electricity generation, such as coal. So So what has Tesla done? They say, well, in addition to me needing to build a factory to build more batteries, I also should probably find a way to do solar. Because what other ways is a consumer going to want to have renewables at their house? And remember, if I have 50% energy loss in line transmissions, then I only need to produce half as much energy at my house as the power plant we need to produce at the power plant itself. Okay? So overall energy production is then lower because I'm doing it at my house. But the problem here is I have to, when I'm producing solar, I have to ensure that the energy that's produced during the day when I'm not home is going somewhere and is able to be used at night when the sun is down when I need it. And again, so what do they do? Is they say, hey, in addition to taking this battery pack for the car, I'm also going to take that battery pack and I'm going to stick it in your house. And so all day while the sun is up, I'm going to suck all that energy in and then dump it in this battery. And then when you park your car at night, I'm going to dump that energy from the battery in the house to the battery in your car. Now, how cool is that? Now, that's a vision. And so if Tesla wants to go roll that out, what are they going to do, right? What is the Tesla style? Well, go big or go home. You want to get a Gucci roof, go to Tesla. High-speed solar panels. I don't know if you've seen the solar roofs, but they are very cool-looking roofs. They have found a way to embed a solar panel inside of a roof shingle to where it looks the same as any other roof. They don't have those big solar panels. Looks like a regular roof, except it's got solar panels in it. And these solar panels are warranted for the life of the home. They are hail-proof, very resilient. They snap in like Legos. They're fairly easy to install. They look nice. It's everything you could ever want. High-end roof, right? It's exactly the demographic that Tesla's looking for, and they use that as a springboard, right? What happened with the Tesla cars is they started off with the sports cars and they started moving down market. They started moving down towards lower and lower costs and trying to bring the cost down from that high-end piece. They want to bring it to the masses, but they have to start with the people who are willing to pay a premium for the luxury, pay a premium for the name and the branding. And then moving out. And they're doing the same things with the roofs. You develop the technology, get those early adopters like we talked about before, and then that enables you to spend some time, build up your manufacturing production, and then move on. Okay? So now I've got all this solar generation, and now I'm able to start transitioning power from petroleum to solar. I'm decentralizing everything. But now here's another cool thing about solar. If I want to go move in to an area that does not have a power plant or does not have a regular source of electricity and I want to go build up in that area, how do I do that? I mean, a lot of these solar panels and solar plants the power generation plants, they are capital infrastructure improvement programs. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of money to be able to generate to build these plants. And so if I want to just start with a small project someplace, like say for example on Mars, I may not need all of those resources all at once, but I do have an immediate need for electricity. And so being able to penetrate into new markets or develop new areas that don't have support from a power grid will be limited unless you can develop solar. Well, what's the market for solar? We got to build one. Backtracking back, look at Tesla with the cars and the solar roofs, right? It is genius. So now I've got all these solar panels. I built this giant market so I can help to bring the costs down, bring the profit margin up, bring profits up that draws more people to want to do research into the market, which is happening. then we have more research and development dollars being poured in, which means the efficiencies are going up year after year. Solar panels are getting more and more efficient. Prices are going down. It's getting easier and easier to mass produce solar. Well, what's the problem now? Well, part of the other problem is, again, we're looking to save the planet. I've got all these people who now, living around the world, have access to electricity. But they don't have the ability to use the electricity that they have. They got a couple light bulbs, and that's nice. But what else? I would say, well, we're in a place right now where people with a little bit of education are able to build significant amounts of wealth by selling their goods. You walk into any world market and you can see goods sold from around the world. You go on eBay and you can see individual sellers are able to make products and then sell them directly to consumers. Well, now here's the problem. Do I have a individual craftsman in the middle of Africa able to get on eBay and sell things? No, they're not. Because you don't have the infrastructure to be able to produce electricity, and you don't have internet, right? I don't have the means for that craftsman to be able to go online and sell things. So what does Tesla do? What does Elon Musk do? Well, he's got another company, SpaceX, and SpaceX launches 25 satellites into space. And the plan is to launch hundreds, thousands more. And the goal there with these satellites is to get to the point where internet is broadcast throughout the entirety of Africa, throughout the entirety of the world. Wireless internet, everyone has access to it. So now you got electricity, you've got internet, you just need a computer. And anybody who's familiar with Raspberry Pi, you can buy yourself a computer for $25. You just need yourself a monitor, keyboard, mouse, right? So now I've been able to bring the cost of computers down so far. I've been able to bring the cost of internet down so far. I've been able to bring the cost of power down so far. I can bring modern society to these new communities in ways that do not require any centralized infrastructure or any centralized government command and control system. And in the same way as what he envisions for Mars, right? Being able to bring wealth and success to these communities that are buried deep in the heart of some of the most corrupt countries in the world. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the Boring Company, right? Well, the problem there is if I've got vehicles that are driving around on the surface of Mars, is a very dusty place. How do we get from point A to point B? Right? You got dust that's going to cram in any moving parts, it's going to fill things in. Well, wouldn't it be nice if I had the ability to build some tunnels and kind of connect some things, do high speed transit? You have to develop that technology first. So, doesn't that make sense then? We want to develop efficient, high speed mechanism for maneuver and transport available for any future Martian colony. Now, SpaceX also has the ability to launch and recover rockets, making space travel efficient. And these pieces are all tied together. I think Elon Musk has gone a long way. He has added himself to the national dialogue. He is a technological rock star. He is an inspiration for many people around the world. And, well, his work ethic is unparalleled. Many people are not able to keep up. And some critics will say, you know, he drives his people too hard. But at the end of the day, I think the world is much better off having someone who's able to drive hard, move in the direction of innovation, get people talking and thinking and working together to solve these challenges. very interesting to see where the future of the world holds, and to see what the future of Elon Musk and his various companies will hold. So what do I think? I think, yeah, I'd agree. I think there's a lot of value to what Tesla, SolarCity, and SpaceX are doing, what Elon Musk is doing, and what a lot of the other companies are doing that are working on similar sides. It's a very exciting time to be living in history. So what do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one or any next future topics. Feel free to email me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. My email address is thinkinghardisnewknowledge@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you.